something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame starting May 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. It's a special day because I get to be with Kevin McHale.
That's right. You're welcome. Welcome, everyone. It's a special day for all of you because I'm here with you.
You graced us with your presence. We're so very lucky.
You never know if I'm going to show, but I did.
He did. He showed up. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I just have to say, I have not sat in a live theater in I don't even know how long. And last night I saw The Wiz, which is a touring production that is going to be transferred to Broadway very shortly.
Ooh.
And it is so damn good. I mean, Kevin, I was like, Kevin would be hooting and hollering and standing and doing his things because I truly could not stop thinking about you. It was like the time
you texted me immediately after.
I did, in the intermission, because I said, Kevin has to see this. The voices are like imagine melted butter and then you melt it again. It's
I know exactly what you're talking. Yes.
Good. Oh, it's so good. And it's funny and it's colorful and it's soulful and inspired. And boy, oh boy, if you are in LA or if the production comes to you or you go to New York, go see it. It is really, really great.
Do you know when it ends up on Broadway?
I think like soon. The marquee is up. So March,
amazing.
Probably.
Yeah.
This season.
Okay. I need to get tickets while it's here.
You gotta. It just opened last night. So you have time. But
opening night.
Yeah. We went and it was glorious. It was well worth it. Well worth the visit.
You know me. If you text me during intermission, then that's, I have to go.
Yeah, I won't make you go see a lot of theater, but this is, yeah. You gotta go.
I do love The Wiz in general anyway.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, you gotta go see it. It's so good.
How exciting, though. You know, I love a revival that is just good.
Every song is so excellent in its own, like, on its own. And then you put these amazing vocalists on them, and it is gold. I mean, I cannot wait for this recording. I am literally waiting on bated breath. I'm so excited. They found this Nichelle Lewis. She's 24. She plays Dorothy, and they found her on TikTok.
What?
She's a star. Like, such a big career ahead of her. 24 years old.
Oh, Kyle's in it.
Kyle is in
Freeman.
It. He's wonderful. He plays the lion. He's so good.
Kyle is so stupidly talented.
Stupid.
I saw
really
him
great.
In Strange Loop.
Strange Loop.
And I did a workshop with him.
Oh, that's right.
And he's just amazing. Like the most insane voice and like sweet person.
He's so funny in this. So funny. Anyway, I'm so excited for them. It's going to be a great Broadway run. They're in such great shape. It's really excellent. Yeah, very exciting. Look at this.
We're not even getting paid for this. Jenna's just excited.
And I don't lie. I won't lie. Anyway, it was worth the 11 o'clock heading home. It was a very late night for me. Yes, I don't see 11 o'clock very often. Okay, let's talk about some music. This is season 3, episode 16, Saturday Night Gleaver.
I have such specific memories and non-memories of this. And we'll talk about it when we arrive there. But it was funny. I was like, why is my memory working this way with this episode? And then I saw the scenes happening. Mm-hmm. And in real time, could remember the feeling. And I can't always do that. Most of the time I can't. But I remember the feeling of how I felt during these scenes. I'm like, that's why my memory is like this for this episode.
That's so interesting.
It was really strange. It was very out of body.
Okay.
What is happening? Unique. Speaking of, wait, have you heard Beyonce's new country songs?
No.
Jenna?
I know. I'm sorry. I look to you for all of this.
Jenna, did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, a little bit.
And did you see the Beyonce commercial?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. I don't know how we're going to get through this now.
I'm sorry. I was chasing a toddler, okay? I sat down for Usher.
I hear excuses. A toddler.
and overtime. It was probably the two times I looked at the screen.
Okay, fine. Fair. I'll allow it. I'll send you a link after this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anyway, Saturday Night Gleaver, in the news this week in 2012, on April 17th, We Are Young is still number one by Fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, also crazy that Jack Antonoff isn't Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this like gigantic album, one best new artist, but they're not new. Like they're all seasoned musicians, have been around for forever.
Right.
And then Jack Antonoff becomes the go-to producer for all things great female music.
Right.
Like shortly after this. What a launching pad. Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
Anyway, the number one movie, Hunger Games, still, we're just keeping it the same. This is a gigantic snapshot, I feel like. Hunger Games and We Are Young were just huge.
Yeah.
They changed music because of Jack Antonoff. It changed movies because Jennifer Lawrence became a bona fide movie star after this.
Right. I remember when we were at the SAG Awards and Winter's Bone just had, it was the season of Winter's Bone, and she came on the carpet. Nobody really knew who she was, like, unless you'd seen the movie, and everybody's like, she's the one to look out for.
Yeah. And then she filmed this, Silver Linings Playbook, and something else, and none of them had come out yet.
Oh my God.
Did all of them. Yeah.
Damn. Get it, girl. Glee news this week. On April 19th, and this episode aired on April 17th, 2012, Cupcake Wars was filmed on the set. It was season 6, episode 3, Cupcake Champions Glee. And this was aired in May. And the cupcake artists created sweets inspired by Glee. And then the winning treats were served to the Glee cast and crew. Now, I have zero memory of this.
Oh,
but Kevin,
I'm
looking at a picture in a document where you are with Amber, who looks like the host of Cupcake Wars, and holding cupcakes.
Yeah.
Did you eat the cupcake?
Of course I did. Mm-hmm. I also, it very much looks like I am in a shirt I borrowed from Wardrobe.
Yeah, like Purple Piano Project or
exactly.
something.
Yeah, it's just a random shirt. Amber looks like she's in costume.
Right.
Because we also did this for MasterChef. And so I loved this sort of thing because it was a break in the day. We got some treats and I ran out there and ate everything.
Yeah. I'm not a cupcake girl, but I am a MasterChef girl. So we'll get there. But
I don't love cupcakes.
But you like sweets.
Yeah. And the fact that like another show was doing a Glee themed show, it just felt crazy.
Yeah.
Like these things didn't really ever feel
real
old. Like you never got really used to it.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was directed by Brad Beeger, this episode. And there's a lot that happens. And Jay Groff comes back as Jesse St. James.
And it's the first time he has, and only time he's back and has no scenes with Leah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, fun fact.
So Alex Newell makes his first appearance as Unique.
And tears that shit up.
I mean,
I was so nervous because I didn't remember Alex coming into this episode. And then you have that whole beautiful moment where you have out, you have a Unique's birth. And it's just
so funny.
Like, that is Alex in real life all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so to see Alex not being that first, it's like, okay, we're acting.
Right.
And then Unique happens. I'm like, and we're not acting.
It's so funny.
Alex is just like oozing with charm, mm-hmm, and wit, mm-hmm, and just everyone knows like the stupidest amount of talent.
Right. Exactly.
Like, thank God Alex ended up on this show.
Thank God.
Right.
So good and so fun. And we just had the best time. It's crazy to me that he starts so early on, because I really, I just associate Alex with the new class.
I do too. That's
very much so, because that's when we all kind of melded in a different way.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, Alex does some bangers in this show.
Right? I was like, yeah, let's just get this going. Can we get a highlight reel? Like, I no. just need to see all of the uniqueness.
I'm sure it's up there. All right. We got to get him on. Let's talk about the songs in this episode.
So much music.
We do a lot of music, and it's all disco. You Should Be Dancing by the Bee Gees. Night Fever by the Bee Gees. Disco Inferno by the Tramps. Ugh. If I Can't Have You, Bee Gees. How Deep Is Your Love, Bee Gees. Boogie Shoes by Casey and the Sunshine Band. More Than a Woman, Bee Gees. And Staying Alive, wait for it, the Bee Gees.
Damn.
That is crazy.
That's so many hits.
I don't think I realized it was all the Bee Gees.
I mean, because the whole thing is based off of that soundtrack, and the Bee Gees did the soundtrack, and
right.
It's just, it's a little funny. I feel like that we're doing a tribute episode for Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
That feels funny to me.
Right. And like, we've been on like this like top 40 like streak recently. Lots of current music, lots of pop music. So this feels like a departure from the norm of season 3. But
reminiscent of the earlier seasons. Because yes. 70s hits, and Saturday Night Fever was a gigantic cultural phenomenon.
Yes. I think also the fact that like Will, we associate like a lot of disco with Will Schuster.
Yes. Makes they finally sense. Got to use that clip of young Will that was shot during the pilot.
Right. They used it and cut it, or they shot it and cut it.
Yeah.
Okay. There's some fun facts in this episode.
This is my favorite part. I love fun facts.
Let's go. Tell me.
Okay. This is the first tribute episode not written by Ryan.
Hmm.
Well, not attributed to Ryan on the page. Yes. Right. But Ryan's in that room telling everybody what's happening.
Right.
What's what?
Always.
Yes. This is the second episode to be a tribute to a film after Rocky Horror, Glee Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second episode to be a tribute to an album, the first being Rumors.
Obviously.
Best fun fact, Jenna?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to say it?
No, you say it.
The disco floor used in the choir room is the actual disco floor from Saturday Night Fever.
I mean, that's really cool. And I don't actually know that I remembered that, but now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure we knew that when we were shooting.
I think we knew that. And I think by that point, we were like, oh my God, that's crazy. But also, all right, this is a long time. That's my feeling of this episode, was just like
one really long day.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
Because there's not, I mean, you can tell by the song list going into this episode, there's not a lot outside of the songs take up a majority of this episode.
That's right.
And this dialogue scenes are very expeditious. They trim the fat. You say only what you need to say, and then we're out into another song. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's efficient because there's just not a lot of scenes happening.
There's not a lot of time.
No.
And a lot happening.
No.
Okay, so Blaine is seen in class with both Mike and Brittany despite being younger. Mm-hmm. I guess we can call that honors, AP, whatever. You know, I took classes with younger and older students when I was in school. When asked how old Blaine actually was, Ryan said, Blaine is ambiguous. Darren had said that he had no idea how old Blaine is, as when he first joined the show, he was told Blaine was a year older than Kurt, but then was somehow a year younger when he transferred. So, beat that.
Because it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, and when Ian was talking about it, remember he was like, Glee was supposed to kind of be this, like, time doesn't really exist thing, and that's... And I think that's why it was started that way. And then when we started getting into like talking about senior year and juniors and blah, 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 and all of these things, like it had to be. And so a lot of these things were ambiguous, like Ryan said, Blaine is.
Right.
And that's how we found out we were juniors in Comic-Con on a panel in front of hundreds of people. This is the second time that Quinn doesn't speak at all in the episode. And the first time was in the Spanish teacher.
If only we could say the same thing about ourselves.
Rory and Sugar are not in this episode. Shame.
And we miss them.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And Kurt is the only one to interact with all the Glee Project season 1 characters as of this episode.
Chris is the best acting partner. Like, put them in there.
Put them in.
Training wheels off. Deep end. That's right. Chris is warm and hilarious and thoughtful.
And make you better. We'll always make you better, too.
Absolutely.
When Will is talking to Finn about his future in the classroom, that amazing, wonderful scene, you can see he's already begun teaching history as the line of succession is written on the board behind Will, and various history posters cover the walls.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. This is the first time another show choir competition is seen that New Directions does not participate in.
Hmm.
And More Than a Woman is the first song this season that features only the active couples of the Glee Club at the time of filming. Brittana, Finchel, Tyke, and Klain.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the third time Sue is seen in an outfit not related to a tracksuit. It's like once per season. That's all you get.
Very, very rare sighting.
Yes. And there's some cool behind the scenes stuff. My favorite, there's this time lapse video.
I think Harry did that.
Yeah, of Disco Inferno being filmed. Yeah, Harry got into time lapse at some point.
Yes, and it was probably this episode.
Yes.
Harry would always document a lot. He'd always have his camera up and document it well, and then Darren as well. So they have a lot of footage, a lot of deep footage in the vault.
Between that we the don't two of them oh and God. Megan Doyle, there's everything.
Vault.
Yes. So this episode, the Glee Club does Disco in a tribute to Saturday Night Fever in order to help Finn, Santana, and Mercedes figure out what to do after they graduate. Will's assignment is songs from the movie that would show how they feel about their lives. Mm. It's a little crazy, the premise, right? Like forcing these kids in front of everybody to think about, again, what are these like monumental life-changing decisions? And putting trying pressure. To rush that is insane. But
you know, well, clock's it was ticking. It was a different time. Gap year wasn't even a thing yet, Kevin. Where you, it does seem a little antiquated. Like you have to know what you want to do. But I think we can focus. What we can focus on. What I think maybe Mr. Shu was trying to get at was like the motivation to try to figure it versus like figuring it out.
Yeah, and I think it is nice to see Will teaching.
Investing in, yeah.
And I think academics. What he was best at too was, yes, investing in like personal lives when it's not crossing a weird boundary.
Right.
And the storyline with each of them ends up being really special.
That's
and
right.
important to these characters going forward.
That's right. Okay. So overall, I think all of these storylines fit into this one storyline, which graduation is coming up. We open up with Will saying like, he's a little nervous for some of the seniors who don't seem to have a plan for their future yet or have thought about it. And so the theme for Nationals is vintage, I guess, which I don't know that I even knew that while we were shooting. And so for inspo, Will decides to do Saturday Night Fever for this week.
And you get that opening number to You Should Be Dancing with Blaine and Brittany and Mike. And it comes in like that doesn't normally happen also. Like the structure of this episode, I think, because there is so much music, like you're just slam. Here's an opening musical number, which feels like an actual musical.
Right.
Which is fun. It does put you into that tribute episode mode.
It's a little Michael.
Yes.
Reminiscent of Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should talk about this Mercedes storyline.
Oh, Mercedes. So Mercedes is part of the trio that Will is sort of putting on blast in front of everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was personally just very happy that Amber was getting a storyline
right
like this.
Right.
There was no tater tots involved.
Right. Yes. It's just kids being kids.
Yes. And it's like there's more Sam Sadies, which we know we love.
And you.
It's, again, yeah, just so cute. And she decides that she gets up there. And she's, oh my God, can we talk about that number?
I mean,
Jenna. Disco Inferno?
It's so crazy. I remember watching it and being like, oh yeah. My God.
They're a full girl group, the three of them.
I love them. We love them.
Like, they're
love
an actual, like... That is the Trouble Tones, basically.
Yes.
And like they...
Fire.
It just feels... I keep thinking about, you know, when we've had these episodes with fan questions and fans coming on about how the level at which some of the Glee Club was performing completely set unrealistic expectations for what people should expect in high school hear.
That's
and
right.
That's all I could think about watching them because it felt so... perfect and polished. Like this is an actual record. Like put it on the radio, put them on tour. There's no notes.
No notes. Do you remember we shot? Do you think I can't remember, but It feels like sitting in that choir room that day when we're sitting, like, you know, the seats are a little bit below and we're watching. Mm-hmm. It was a Saturday.
It might have been. We started to get into that territory here.
Saturday shooting when we were behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love to see that.
And her scene, like, just sort of owning up to, like, I want to be one of the greats. I want to be a recording mm-hmm. artist. I need to
figure. But I don't know where to start.
Yes. Which is so real. And all these entertainment things, right? I mean, that can be applied to anything. And it's always nice when the Glee Club, which is so fantastical and, like, sarcastic, does some of that stuff where it's like, okay, I don't. Who knows how to do that? You know how many times you and I get asked, like, how does somebody find an agent or a manager?
I know. It is true. Mercedes is the most relatable, I think, of the group. Well, I don't want to say most, but I feel like it was, for me, the most relatable.
Yeah, I think,
like,
for
being
us.
Like, I want to move to LA, or I want to go pursue this, but, like, where do I start? And it's very scary versus, like, a Rachel who knows exactly what she wants, exactly mm-hmm. where she's going, exactly what she's aiming or what her goals are. I think, she's the minority in this of, like,
yeah.
And so I really liked this storyline of somebody who had goals other than Broadway and musical theater, because that's kind of like the world we were in with Glee a lot. And Mercedes, you know, being honest about it. But then Sam posting it, Sweet Chord posting the video of her so she could see, like, how she impacts others, you know, and not just be like a mm-hmm. recording artist, was really so sweet. Why can't we have more of them?
And true to the times, like, that was just starting. People getting famous off of YouTube, off of Vine. Never That's mind right. where we are today.
Oh yeah, forget it.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of my biggest pet peeves about musicals or movies that involve the music business is some of the tropes and cliches and how it's like, I don't think anybody working in the music business was a part of making these movies. But Mercedes saying that and how she doesn't know how to get into it is perfect.
Right.
Is so grounded in the realities of the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam just like posting that thing, and they're not overly doing it. She had 420 something likes or views or comments.
Yes. Yes.
And so it was nice that it was as crazy and out of this world as Glee can be, that that felt actually very realistic.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
And aspirational and something that anybody could do.
Right.
Obviously, not anybody can sing like Amber. But right. The premise of it is like, yeah, these are the real questions and these are some of the ways to go about doing it. I just really liked it. I was very happy. It was refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, the whole storyline of like kids not knowing what they want to do with their lives and trying to figure it out and changing their minds and, you know, these three different perspectives of like, or approaches to things, was a really relatable topic. And this is why I get like why you love the more high school drama.
Yeah.
And the reality of like the stakes being high, because they were for us at that point. Like everybody was doing their college applications and what were they going to major in? And it meant what you were going to do for the rest of your life. And nobody told you like, it probably won't be what you do for the rest of your life, you know?
And it feels like the clock is ticking. Right, especially when you have people like the Rachels who know what they're doing and they're talking about what they're doing all the time. And as much as you want to distract yourself and be like, I'm fine, I have time, it feels like there is this countdown and this impending doom of like, time's running out.
You're the final countdown.
Yeah, right? Because it feels like it's closing in. There are submission deadlines. Like, yes. What are you going to do?
What are you
going
to be?
You're only comparing yourself to other people around you.
Well, that leads us to Finn, because Finn is directly impacted by Rachel, who does know what she wants and is so clear on it that she's like, get on board or see you later, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so he's feeling very lost. Obviously, he decides he's not going to move to LA with Puck because that's not his dream.
Yeah.
But, you know, and to be fair, Rachel says, like, this isn't, you don't have to do what... You have to do it for yourself, not just for me. But it is relatable. Like he's feeling the pressure of somebody knowing so deeply and so clearly what they want. And he doesn't quite know. And you don't want to be affected by that either. Right. You don't want to be like influenced by that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard not to be, though.
I think he is.
Yeah.
So they all try to help Finn, and his number, his disco dancing. It's just Corey. Like, I think it's funny because when you think about Corey, I always think about like him trying in dance rehearsals, so serious, trying to get it right, not really understanding like the concept of it. And the
only time you see him flustered.
Right. Yes, that's right. And like sometimes like really frustrated. And so. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody when somebody says something to you, you're like, I can't wrap my head around it. Like some people like dance just isn't that. And I think for Corey, that was not his forte, but at some point I think he embraced it at some point and was like, okay, just like use it, right? Finn's not the dancer.
Yeah. And they wrote for it too, which was nice.
Yeah.
So then those moments, like we could cheer like ourselves, the characters are cheering for Finn.
And we're cheering for Corey.
Yeah.
but dancing.
And the storyline was, I thought, so beautiful and so beautifully acted.
I mean, the idea that like he could take this, any storyline that he has, and it could be so minuscule and so small and even not really supposed to be the main storyline of the episode. And he made it the one main.
It sure felt like it was. That's my takeaway from this episode. It's not even disco.
No, it's Finn learning what he wants to do. Watching Saturday Night Fever, realizing, but that scene with him and Will was so beautiful.
The writers like really went in on these storylines, like they fit each character perfectly.
Yes.
And they all ended up with something really nice
and
heartwarming at the end. But they gave each of these characters especially Finn, these moments to really like challenge the characters. It's challenging Corey as an actor and challenge the audience to like see these characters in a different light, in a more relatable light. And that scene with Will, for both of them, I thought they both just did
really nice
great,
work.
Great job. Yeah.
When Finn says, I mean, I did one of those quizzes online that was supposed to tell you what job you'd be good at. And my result was competitive eating champion. I was like, me too.
Same. That's exactly what I was like, yeah, I could do that.
I really enjoyed doing More Than a Woman.
It was so cute.
It was really sweet. And I have such vivid memories because, number one, I was coming off my back injury. And so this was like dancing again. And I was like, God damn it. But I was in flats. You notice they put me in all flats because I couldn't wear anything with a remote heel at all or any kind of incline. But we did this number on the wheel dance floor. And you know the circles when they looks like you're like spinning and they're doing the close-ups?
Yeah.
It was Andrew's camera on this like C-stand that just kind of turned like a carousel.
Oh, yeah.
We just followed it. So we're like staring into the camera with Andrew behind us, like supposed to be looking at, I'm supposed to be looking at Harry.
And you're just looking straight into the camera.
So weird. Leave it to Brad Beaker to do shots like that. But it was so weird and so funny. But we all stood around Village when each person went and we were like cheering for everybody. It was really fun.
It looked great. I loved it.
I loved it. I loved it too. I enjoyed shooting that one.
What did it make you think of when you did it?
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought it was that scene in Titanic. You know, and they're dancing on the table. Every time I see one of those things, all I think about is Titanic.
When they like spin really fast in the...
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I didn't think of that. Actually.
I'm shocked, but it's okay. It's out of left field.
Damn. Okay. Okay. I got it. I got it now. I was probably thinking that when we were shooting it. Probably why I was so excited.
My main memory from this episode is your back injury.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just being so calm because I didn't really do shit in this episode. So I was sitting there like around the dance floor watching everything. And so I was, when you don't have anything to do, oh, there is a full shot of me where I am not present.
Dead behind the eyes.
Oh, I'm like looking off because, you know, normally like I pride myself and they can cut to me and I'll have something for them.
Of course.
Oh, it's the, I got caught, Jenna.
You didn't know.
I went, oh. Because
sometimes
I'm
you don't know the camera's on you, okay? You can't tell.
You should still be acting. You know, like...
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I was fully not present because I had nothing to do, so I was completely just checked out. And I was, and you were coming to me to talk about your back injury. I was watching you in the flats.
Right.
And I was just like, how's it going? I was scared because... You can't put Jenna. Jenna was pregnant doing Drag Race and doing the splits. Like, if you put her on stage or in front of a camera, she's going to go full out. I know you can't not.
Yeah, it's true.
So I remember being very worried and then bored.
That's fair. That's fair. That's funny. Well, I appreciate your worry, your concern.
I was like, oh, Jenna had a back injury. It's always yellow. I attach it to Halo Sunshine. You have an injury.
My neck injury.
And then this disco, I don't know why. Like
yellow comes to mind. Mm-hmm. It's like a yellow alert.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, these numbers were really fun to do, even though there was... It just felt like it still feels out of place for where we were in season last episode. Music-wise. Musically.
It feels a little jarring, but it was fun to like... Because the Bee Gees, you also realize the Bee Gees are not a group to necessarily cover unless you're doing a very different version. Because those bitches could sing in like a very specific way.
It's high.
It is so high. Do you remember recording it?
No.
Because I feel like the girls had an easier time, probably.
Well, right. That's it. I don't think all these guys are like peculiar for us. But the guys, that's a lot for them. That's a lot. You really have to like clench your butt.
Just get up
there.
And
that's like a true singing thing. Like sometimes you just got to clench your butt.
Yeah.
okay. Finn decides that he actually does want to become an actor. He watches Saturday Night Fever. He watches the movie.
He actually does the lesson. Probably the only one.
Yeah, I definitely didn't watch it. He definitely he wants to go to the actor studio, which is ironic because we've said before they were just on, Corey was just on the actor studio with a few of other castmates. So it felt like life imitating art, art imitating life.
A little meta.
But he's going to be an actor, which I love. And he's going to go to New York for himself and to be with Rachel.
See, and that's also being influenced by the people you're around because he's still in the arts, but doing his own thing.
Right. Not musical theater, not any of that. A real actor. And then Santana, on the other hand, just wants to be famous.
she just wants number. It's like beautiful. This beautiful number.
And then this monologue.
I did not remember what was coming, and I about fell out of the chair because, like, of course this is what she would say, and of course it's another, like, it's probably true, but also probably a defense mechanism. It's all very Santana.
Yes, yes, it is very Santana.
Oh, and God.
It's very funny.
And Brittany's response to it, the sex tape.
Oh, boy.
And creepy-ass Artie. The first one to come in and comment on it.
Of course so you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're the least threatening of the guys, so I think that's why they have you do it.
Maybe.
You know, yeah, you can't have, like, Finn come in and say it. It would be really bad. Like, yeah. With you, it's just not that threatening.
Why, Jenna? Why?
You answer that yourself, Kevin.
That's how I am in real life.
He says, okay.
Yeah, okay. So
exactly. Yeah, so Brittany releases a sex tape they made and to help her, because she says everybody who's famous has an infamous sex tape. And Santana kind of was like, Brittany, why did you do that? Very kindly, though. Very kindly. She doesn't get
angry. I love that. I loved how Santana dealt with Brittany.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't that be would, that meant a lot. That was but, no. That would be nobody's right? reaction except Santana's.
Right.
That was a deep understanding of Brittany.
Yeah, but like she genuinely thought she was doing something good for her.
You know, Matt Hodson gets a lot of shit for some of this, but his name is also on this script, and the writing is going very down.
Good. Yeah. Yes. Very good. And then in the end, which is very nice. Brittany and Sue help Santana get a full scholarship, a full ride to the University of Louisville for cheering. And even though cheering isn't exactly what she wants to do, she's going to college.
It's a way in. Yeah.
Go, Brittany.
Sue was on the streak. Sue. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it. It's not going to last very long, I don't think, but.
It never does, but she's doing life-changing things for people here. This is great.
This is true. She is pregnant. She's feeling the feelings.
Now, unique.
Oh my God, Alex Newell, get in here!
Look,
get
Alex
in my show.
I don't know what type of security or lack thereof McKinley had, because people were just walking in and out of the school. my middle school, way before Glee, this would never have been allowed to happen. You couldn't just walk in and out of school without, like, checking in and stuff. Anyway. Wade shows up in the hallway, introduces themselves to Kurt and Mercedes, says the biggest fan, and they love it. This trio also magical.
I love the three of them.
And then asking them, like, coming to them like queer entertainment senseis, what do I do? Because Wade wants to perform as Unique, who is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And dreams of being unique and knows the power that Unique has.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sue catches wind of it and tells Kurt and Mercedes to encourage Wade to do it because she thinks it's going to sabotage them. So you're right. The good things have.
Right.
Yeah. And that will knock Vocal Adrenaline out. And then New Directions has a better chance at winning nationals. Yada, yada, yada. And they try and they give Wade the shoes, the high heel shoes. It's like, yeah, go do it, which is a little, you know, it's like, I couldn't believe they actually did it because their intent was bad.
Right. They did. Yeah.
Because at first they said, don't do it. Because, like, we know the ridicule in this very conservative place. You're just going to put yourself through a lot that you don't need to.
Right.
And then after Sue encouraging them to, you know, do the bad thing, they do it. However, unique.
Are you kidding?
Like.
Are you kidding?
What? Are you
kidding? Coming in.
Hot.
That's Tony Winter Alex Newell for you on that stage.
That is right.
I mean, that's, you see that, and it's someone who's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond just the character. When you're able to do that as a performer,
yeah,
at any point, like, wrap it up. That, call it a day. That's
bow
it.
Bow down.
Yeah.
That's, go home. Just everybody else go home.
And feel it. John Groff getting on that stage trying to yell at Unique was crazy. Crazy. Also, why were those wings full?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because was everybody just shocked that Wade went on as Unique?
I guess so.
But do all these other people know who Wade or Unique is?
No, I don't think so. Maybe Mercedes called everybody. I don't know. No.
But A Star Is Born.
Well, A Star Is Born. And we had the infamous Jonathan Groff spitting.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Slow-mo.
Oh, yeah. We love it. We love it. Alex Newell, this is only the beginning.
This is an Alex Newell fan club over here.
Trouble turns Alex Newell.
Yeah.
Let's rate these numbers, Kevin.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So let's start. Numbers.
You Should Be Dancing. I give it a B plus.
Oh,
you give it more?
I give it an A minus for the dancing, I think.
Yeah, the dancing was really nice.
Yeah.
But I'm giving it a B plus, and the plus is for Darren's splits.
Oh my God. He really kept up with them.
He did. I felt bad.
I don't
want
to dance with the two of them.
Nobody wants to dance in between them.
No, exactly. He really did. He kept it. He committed.
Okay, Night Fever.
B.
B.
B for Bee Gees.
B for Bee Gees and B for me being bored.
Yeah.
During
Disco
it.
Disco Inferno.
A plus.
A plus plus.
Yes.
If I Can't Have You.
A plus.
I feel like my back was really bad during that time.
Yeah, I think you were miserable during this episode because of that.
I remember sitting in those seats being like, please somebody help me.
Yeah, I remember you being in pain.
In pain.
A lot. I think you even had, like, the medic might have come to help you a couple times.
You're so right. I had these, like, lidocaine patches too.
Yes.
I was really struggling still. This wasn't like the up and up.
You weren't out of the woods yet.
I was deep in it. Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, it got irritated, like, very quickly during Night Fever. So,
you're right.
Like, it was immediately back on. Yeah.
I was like, was I even in that number? And then I was like, I could have not been in that number.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. We digress. How deep is your love? B plus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid number.
I love that song.
Yeah. Boogie Shoes.
I mean,
A plus.
Yes.
Plus.
Just wild. More Than a Woman? A.
A. Mm-hmm. Staying Alive.
With the white suits.
We were giving it. I remember my back must have been, I have a bunch of photos from this number, like behind the scenes, like one in my trailer and the suits, and I like the suits. I remember I must have been on a happy day that day, like a good back day, because I don't, we were all giving it.
So what I think happened for you was, I think we only had that floor for like a day or two, and I think we shot all of that, and that's when
all
your back was not okay.
Yeah, because they were knocking them all out.
Yeah.
I was in most of them. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. We did only have that flair for a few days. Okay. I give it a B plus.
Yeah, I agree.
It's fine. It's typical. I think that's why.
And it's like, how many, what are you going to do with another disco number? You
right.
Know?
Right. Put us in cool, cute looking suits and give us some good choreography. This episode is like, if you love disco music, great. We had some great performances. The storyline was good.
I think.
Did I love this episode?
Yeah.
Not really.
But It's one of those ones where sometimes the music makes up for the storylines. This is one of those ones where I think the storylines that were happening made up for the music.
Yeah.
I think disco has been back in a big way for the past couple of years, and this episode now seems much more prevalent and like important than back then.
Agreed.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's do some tardy takes.
Ouchies.
Cringe moments. I mean, I think the sex tape.
The sex tape. That's just, okay. You can't do that. You can't, I think that's illegal.
It is. Okay. She could have filed a lawsuit, but instead she was very understanding.
There were some mature moments in here, you know?
There were.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Best dance move. There was a lot of dancing.
You Should Be Dancing, I think, was the best one.
Yes. I mean, they danced nonstop.
Well, I mean, Boogie Shoes was also really good.
I know, but I want to give it to You Should Be Dancing, I think.
Yeah, let's give it to Jaren.
Yeah.
Okay, best song.
Oh. I mean, I'm going to go with Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno. Yeah. Okay.
Obviously, we're biased.
Yeah, we agree there. Okay. Best performance by a prop.
I think the disco floor.
Oh, that's good, Kevin. I'm going with the VHS tape.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That Finn watches.
That's very good.
2009, watching the VHS.
It hurt seeing that.
Well, the kids today would be like, what's that? That hurts. Okay. Best line.
There's a lot.
Sam's line about, you ain't no skim milk, baby. You're the cream rising to the top. I don't know if it's absolutely cringy or absolutely brilliant.
Oh my God. Brittany had some crazy ass lines. The number one, I see how you keep your car, so you could totally be on Hoarders. You just need to start storing your poops in the trunk, and I'm sure they'll book you. Also, the thing about the bull testicle, I drove all the way to Spencerville. You can eat it. You know, it came with a pear, but I got hungry on the way home. So it tastes just like a chicken testicle. That feels like Hitchcock. I feel like Hitchcock must have written that joke.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Also, I think, okay, Sue fully reads Will. and says, oh, let's be honest, William, you've been out of ideas since Madonna week. Why don't you just embrace that lazy, horrible, treacly style of teaching and assign them a famous album? You know, calling ourselves out.
You know, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. Performance MVP.
Corey. Yes.
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay. So the shit we found on TikTok this week, this is a pretty special one. I have been sent this for the past 48 hours.
Same.
By everyone.
I know what it is.
Yes. Amber sent this to me.
Yes.
And it is Justin Fuku. Mm-hmm. Doing the best, most accurate impression of Rachel Berry.
It's the detail, the eye movements, like it's so well thought out and very funny.
The detail, like everything, the editing, the music, the outfits, the storyline. Like what?
All right. Well, that is... Thank you for sharing that with us, everybody. Next week is Dance With Somebody. It's Whitney. Let's do it.
Oh, God.
I sneak peeked into it after watching this episode. I was like, oh, my God.
What did you see? What did you sneak peek?
How will I know?
Oh, God. I'm not ready.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay. Come back next week. Thanks for joining us for a recap. And
that's what you really missed.
Thanks for listening and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame starting May 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.